You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy trade deadline day, boys and girls. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. Full analysis and breakdowns of everything that happens during the trade deadline. We also have game-by-game breakdowns and highlights for you. Player interviews, interviews with all the local and national experts, your takes as well as mine. If you call yourself a Sacramento Kings fan, this is the absolute place for you. Not just during the regular season, but during the entire year. We don't stop during the offseason. We go through draft coverage, we go through the draft lottery, summer league, free agency. It is all right here for you. So if you are new and if you are a fan of the Sacramento Kings, keep it right here and become a daily part of the Locked On Kings podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. And we're doing things a little bit differently today. This is one of two podcasts we will be releasing today. This podcast focusing on the game last night against the Houston Rockets, although we're going to talk very little about that because last night before the game started, actually one trade went down at the very beginning of the game within the first few minutes of the game actually being played, but the Kings took part in two separate trades last night, the day before the trade deadline. Of course, the deadline is today at noon Pacific time. We don't know if the Kings are done. Personally, I feel like they are, and they've gotten the moves done that they wanted to do, but that doesn't mean that the rest of the NBA is done. So later on today, I'll be releasing another podcast that goes over and highlights all of the moves that took place in the over the last few hours, over this trade deadline period throughout the NBA. I'll have a guest on that will be joining me to discuss all of it, so you can look forward to that later on today. But that one will be more NBA-centered. We'll still talk Kings in that one, but that one will be more broad NBA, whereas this is, like normal, specifically Sacramento Kings talk. So two trades to talk about, and we'll briefly mention the game against the Houston Rockets because the trades had a direct effect on how this game against the Rockets played out. But let's start with let's go through the whole night bit by bit. So Sacramento Kings are in the Golden 1 Center doing their normal pregame warm-ups. It's about 2 hours to an hour and a half before game time at this point. I'm sitting down below the arena inside the media room just getting ready to host game night, which is the Sacramento Kings pregame show on Sports 1140 KHDK. We go on air at 5:30. I'm down there, and around 5 o'clock, we get the first Woj bomb of the night, which is that the Sacramento Kings are involved in a three-team trade. And all that the initial tweet said was that the Kings were sending Iman Shumpert to the Houston Rockets, the same team that they are playing that night. The Kings had agreed to trade Shumpert to, but there was no detail immediately on what the Kings were getting in return and how the third team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, were involved. Then we found out later from Shams that the entire trade was as follows. The Sacramento Kings send Iman Shumpert to the Houston Rockets. The Cleveland Cavaliers get Brandon Knight, Marquise Chris, and a future draft pick from the Rockets. And the Kings get shooting guard Alec Burks, formerly of the Utah Jazz, from Cleveland, along with a Houston second-round pick. So another second-round pick for the Kings. They now have 9 second-rounders over the next 3 seasons. So that is interesting. I mean, they have definitely a big haul with that. I don't know how much to go into detail about the second round picks. In my opinion, they might be using them later on to use as assets and as trade sweeteners, almost like cherries on top for the future. But the player that they get back is Alec Burks. Now, looking at this trade and breaking this trade down, there's two ways that we're going to look at it. We're going to look at what the Kings got and what the Kings lost. But we'll start with what the Kings got in Alec Burks. Someone who is a 6'6 shooting guard, who has playoff experience, is a better shooter than Iman Shumpert is, a guy that spaces the floor. Currently, he's leaving Cleveland this season. He played 51 games with the Cleveland Cavaliers, averaged about 28 minutes a game, and in those 28 minutes, He averaged 10.6 points, 4 rebounds, and 2.3 assists. He's a 40% field goal shooter, 37%, just about 38% shooter from three-point range, and an 82% free throw shooter. So someone who's going to come in and provide scoring. Now, first thing, my initial reaction to this when I saw that it was Burks that was the player coming back to Sacramento was, another shooting guard? Why? What's going on? What's the situation here? The Kings have an abundance of shooting guards, and they have Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic, which are the main two in the rotation. How does Alec Burks fit in? Where is he going to get the playing time? Because he's 6'6", is he going to be playing maybe the small forward role coming off the bench now that the Kings have traded away Iman Shumpert, who's been starting at that small forward spot? So it was a little bit confusing, but the one feeling that I had in my gut throughout the entire night when seeing this trade and reading more about this trade was that this felt like a setup move. This was not the main move that the Kings were going to make, but it felt like they were setting the table for something to come later. Now, of course, something did. We didn't know that at the time. There was a good hour and a half to 2 hours before the second move came about. So during that hour and a half to 2 hours, we were kind of in a state of limbo, wondering, okay, I mean, you improved in terms of spacing the floor and getting a better shooter. As great as Iman Shumpert was defensively, he was extremely inconsistent offensively, especially with his outside shot. And the Kings are looking for guards who are going to space the floor, who are going to shoot and open up the offense and open up the paint for De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles, guys like that to work and have appropriate space. If the three of them get into trouble, kick it out for an outside look, and Alec Burks certainly helps with that. I also mentioned that he has playoff experience. He is someone that played in the playoffs with the Utah Jazz a couple of seasons ago, and he is more comfortable in the postseason than most on this Kings roster, because most just simply haven't been there yet. And the Kings are gearing up, especially after the Tobias Harris trade. They're looking to find a way to keep their core intact, but get this core and get this team to the playoffs this year. Even if it results in a sweep because of the 8th seed going against the Golden State Warriors, or a sweep at the hands of the Nuggets because they made the 7th seed, regardless, the Kings are just trying to make it to the postseason, end the drought, get that playoff experience. And adding someone with experience like Alec Burks can potentially help with that. Now, I mentioned Alec Burks' contract expires at the end of the year. So we don't necessarily know if that means that he is going to be returning to the Sacramento Kings beyond this season. He's being paid $11.5 million this season, and then he becomes a unrestricted free agent. So maybe depending upon how he plays and how he fits in with this team, the Kings might decide to keep him around long term. We'll just have to wait and see with that. But essentially, what this trade felt like was a setup move to where they traded Iman Shumpert essentially for a second round pick, and Alec Burks may have been involved in the deal in order to make sure the salaries matched up. Now, here's the unfortunate part. Iman Shumpert, as inconsistent as he was on the floor, and first and foremost, Iman Shumpert was a lot better on the floor and a lot better player than I think Sacramento Kings fans, media members, maybe even the Kings themselves expected him to be. He was coming off of that injury where he barely played over the last season and a half. We know that he was known for his defense, but was an inconsistent offensive player that didn't really have much of an outside shot. But for a good portion of the season, especially early on, he was a go-to offensive option for this Kings team, and what he did on the floor certainly warranted him starting at the three spot and getting the playing time that he got. Now, that being said, as valuable as he was on the floor, he was 100 times more valuable in the locker room. And the reaction of the Sacramento Kings players during the trade and then after last night's game will tell you all about that. Iman Shumpert brought a swagger to this locker room, a fearlessness, a attitude of we can beat anybody on any given night. We're a team to watch, a team to look out for, and a team you should be excited about. He called the team, or labeled the team, the Scores, which is a name that they adopted and something that they've really put their identity in. But on top of that, on top of his just bright personality, Iman Shumpert was a professional. Iman Shumpert was someone who took a lot of the young players under his wing, someone who did not shy away from teaching moments, someone who would wrap his arm around a young guard or a young big and say, look, this is what you did wrong, this is what you did right, this is the way the NBA is, here's how you learn from it, grow from it, and get better about it. He also helped a lot of the young players deal with the ebbs and flows of the NBA and the unfortunate business side of things, like, for example, trade rumors and being traded on a dime. We know that the Kings have been connected to trade rumors for quite a while. Iman Shumpert had a great moment with the Kings media where he said that I was traded about 6 or 7 times from the New York Knicks via social media before I actually was traded, so I know how to deal with that, and I brought that, and he brought that kind of attitude to how he addressed the young guys, telling them, you know, just focus on what really matters, which is you're a part of this team as of right now. Focus on that. Focus on getting better. Focus on winning games. And what's going to happens, and you bounce from it, you learn from it, you grow, and you adapt. And he brought that confidence to this Kings locker room that really can't be measured by any kind of statistic. And his value in that sense was over the top. By all means, he was a locker room leader for this team. So for them to lose that, you could see the effect and the disappointment immediately when that news broke. Now, I don't expect that the players were happy about it. However, I don't think they were necessarily as blindsided by this move as they were by the other one, which we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. But Iman Shumpert, they knew it was an expiring deal. I'm sure the players were aware that even if he remained on this team throughout the remainder of the season, it was unlikely that he was going to be back and he was going to be re-signed this summer. So they knew that they were on a timetable as it was, but that didn't stop Shumpert from pouring his heart and soul into this roster, from being a leader to this roster, and from his teammates, the young players in that locker room, to become attached to him, used to that leadership. And now there's a void in this locker room that you have to try and fill in some way, shape, or form. And I like to believe that Iman Shumpert, Vince Carter, and Garrett Temple, those three veterans, even Zach Randolph to an extent, have done a good job gearing up these young players to where now that the veterans are starting to be on their way out and the young players are stepping into the spotlight, playing more minutes, being the leaders of the future for this team. Hopefully those four vets have geared up guys like De'Aaron Fox, guys like Buddy Hield, guys like Harry Giles to be able to step into that leadership role, that they can take the lessons learned from those vets and apply them for themselves today and for the future young players and other pieces of this team that will come in tomorrow and in the months and years to come. Iman Shumpert was an incredibly valuable asset. And if you haven't checked out the video of him saying goodbye to many of the local media and the Kings staff around the locker room as he made his way out of the building. Now, it was an awkward situation because he was traded to the team that the Kings were playing that night. Now, the way trades work, you can't just, okay, I'm traded, I'm going over to the other side, suiting up, and I'm playing. They have to go through physicals. The trade has to get approved by the league. So it takes typically a 48-hour period. So there's no way Iman Shumpert was going to be suiting up and playing for the Rockets. And because the trade wasn't finalized, he couldn't or didn't choose to just go over to the other locker room and sit in there or sit on the Rockets bench. So he ended up, before the game started, saying goodbye to his teammates and then leaving the arena, leaving the building, and I'm sure he's already gotten the process started of transferring his belongings, his life, really, from Sacramento now to Houston. And that's one area that we forget about. You know, athletes, players aren't trading cards, even though from a fan's perspective, we look at the trade deadline maybe as such. It's human beings that are having their lives uprooted and moved, and it's human beings that are directly affected by that, like the young kids that are in this Kings locker room. So I'm not pretending it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's something that all parties should just be able to get over. But, I mean, that's the nature of the business, and nobody should be surprised by that. Nobody knows that better than Iman Shumpert himself, so I'm sure he handled it with grace and professionalism. In fact, I know he handled it with grace and professionalism. And it's the next man up mentality. It's got to move on, got to keep playing, because the Kings are still very much in a playoff race, and even though they may have lost one of their big leaders and maybe one of the big hearts and souls of that locker room, They just got to find a way to replace it, keep pushing on, and Iman Shumpert wouldn't want it any other way. Now, really briefly, I want to talk about what the Houston Rockets are getting in Shumpert, because I like this move for them. Shumpert is not someone who needs to join Houston and put up a lot of points and carry a scoring load like he had to do sometimes with the Sacramento Kings, but we know the Rockets need defense, especially for their hopeful NBA Finals and playoff push, and Iman Shumpert is a good wing defender that's going to be able to come off the bench behind Harden, behind Chris Paul, behind PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, and be able to help with the defensive load there, especially on the perimeter. So I like his fit with the Houston Rockets. I think the Rockets got a great player. It was a good trade for them because they gave up assets that weren't even playing in Brandon Knight, Marquise Chris, and a couple of draft picks, which don't matter to them anyway because they have their team, their core right now, and they're trying to win right now. So a trade that all in all, I guess, worked out for all sides, and especially with the move that came on later in the night, it makes sense why Vlade and the Kings elected to make this decision. Then the game started. The Sacramento Kings took the floor during warm-ups, and one thing that they've started doing here very recently before the start of every single tip-off is the bench unit consisting of Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles, Justin Jackson, Frank Mason, Scalabissier, Costa Kufos. They all gather up in the corner and jump up and down to the beat of the music that they play during tip-off, and it's very Goon Squad-like, right? Remember Jason Thompson, Dante Green, the old Kings from the late 2000s. That is something that they would do and something that the fans adopted, and now this current young regime is bringing it back. And one of the guys that was a centerpiece of that and someone who helped to start it was Justin Jackson, who I'm not sure if you were ever at the game and you watched him during warm-ups, but he was always jumping up and down to the beat of the music. He was the one at the end of the high-five tunnel during starting lineups and during introductions. He was always bouncing back and forth, and he'd give the starters high-fives as they'd come by. He was one of the originators of that, jumping up and down, getting loose, dancing to the music, and just having a good time. And shame on me for not noticing that he wasn't there for it before the Houston Rockets game. The reason why was because right before the Rockets game itself, he was informed and pulled off the court during warmups because he had been traded along with Zach Randolph to the Dallas Mavericks so that the Kings could acquire wing, small forward, shooter, and defender Harrison Barnes. Now, the trade was officially announced on Twitter by Adrian Wojnarowski about 3 to 4 minutes into the game, and it's then that I looked to the bench and noticed Justin Jackson wasn't there. I realized subconsciously that he wasn't there during starting lineups and during the ceremonial jumping and dancing during tip off. So I'm a little bit disappointed in myself that I didn't notice that and catch on to that right away. But ultimately, the Kings, like I said earlier, the first move of the night, the Alec Burks, Iman Shumpert trade with the Cavaliers and the Houston Rockets, was a setup move. And it was to set up a move like this, where the Sacramento Kings get Harrison Barnes. They finally have filled that small forward hole. Harrison Barnes is coming from the Dallas Mavericks to join the Sacramento Kings. And that was the major piece of the pie of the night. He was the major target for the Kings to go out and get. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit because we also learned, even before the Iman Shumpert trade, actually, I heard this and learned this as I was on my way to the arena for the night, that the Kings decided to break off talks with the Washington Wizards about Otto Porter. We know the Kings were connected to Porter for quite a while, and Porter was someone that the Kings were interested in bringing along, someone who seemed to fit the mold of what they were trying to get, a defensive three-point shooting three that could fit into this core and fit in with the youth timeline. And Otto Porter certainly did fit that mold. However, the Washington Wizards, who, remember, not too long ago were saying there's no way Otto Porter was available, which we all knew was bogus because of their financial situation. They had to make Otto Porter available. The Washington Wizards apparently were asking and demanding too much from the Kings. And, you know, I give Vlade and the Kings front office a lot of credit for sticking to their guns and saying, no, we're not giving you Harry Giles. No, we're not giving you Bogdan Bogdanovic. Our offer is this and this, and if you don't want to give it to us, so be it. Fine. We have other options. We're going to move on. We're not going to sacrifice our core for a player that, quite frankly, doesn't make us a super team overnight. We're not going to do anything like that. And the Kings stuck to their guns. The Washington Wizards panicked, and they ended up making the move that they did, which was sending Otto Porter to the Chicago Bulls for Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis, decent young player. Jabari Parker, we know his injury issues. We know his inconsistency, his lack of defensive prowess. I don't know how long he's going to be a part of the Wizards' future. So I'm sure Washington wanted to get a better haul for him and expected maybe to get a better haul from the Sacramento Kings. But like I've said, for the past few weeks, the Kings had all the power in the negotiation situation. They could say, you know what? No, we don't need him because our season isn't reliant on making the playoffs and making a deep push. And we can legitimately afford to wait and to play the long game and to not gamble for Otto Porter, while the Wizards couldn't afford to keep him. So they had to move him in some way, shape, or form. They elect to go with the Chicago Bulls trade. I know fans initially in the moment were a bit disappointed. Some were actually happy about it, but most were disappointed. But it ended up all working out in the end because the Kings get Harrison Barnes from the Dallas Mavericks. Now, Harrison Barnes is having a fantastic season in 48 games played with Dallas. He's averaging 17.8 points, 4.3 rebounds, and 1.3 assists. He's shooting 40% from the field, 39% from three-point range, 83% from the free throw line. He's also averaging around 32 minutes per game. He's someone that's going to come in initially going to that starting three spot, so the Kings will now have a legitimate starting three for the first time all season long. Now, they had to trade a three in Justin Jackson in order to get it, so there still will be maybe some lack of size coming off the bench, but their starting lineup is now set, in a way, kinda. They do have, we know De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield are starting at the 1 and 2. We now know Harrison Barnes is starting at the 3. The 4 and 5 still up in the air about when is Marvin Bagley going to work his way into the starting lineup? How long is Willie Cauley-Stein and Nemanja Bjelica going to be in that spot? That's still up in the air. But the point is, we now know that the Kings will have all five positions legitimately filled. And what I mean by that is that the point guard, the guy playing the point guard is actually going to be a point guard. The guy playing the two guard is actually going to be a two guard. The guy playing the three is actually going to be a three. That's what Harrison Barnes is. That's what he brings right away. This season, he's having his second best shooting year of his career in terms of three-point shooting. In 2014-2015, which was his third year in the league with the Golden State Warriors, he shot 40% from three. This year, he's shooting 39% from three. His scoring is down a little bit from last year, and last year's scoring was down a little bit from the year before. His first year with Dallas, 2016-2017, he averaged 19.2 points. Last year, he averaged 18.9. This year, averaging 17.8, but that's okay with the addition of Luka Doncic and Dennis Smith Jr. as well. Those were really the primary scorers. Also, Wesley Matthews was there. So it's understandable why his scoring went down. And regardless of that, Harrison Barnes is not looking to, or the Kings aren't looking to Harrison Barnes to come in and immediately become a go-to scorer for this Kings team. Now, his ability to space the floor is going to be essential and effective, and the Kings certainly want that from him, but it's not going to be required of him to be a 20-plus point-per-game guy in order for the Kings to be successful. He is going to be a guy that comes in and complements De'Aaron Fox, complements Buddy Hield, complements Bagley and Giles, and more importantly, someone who on the defensive side of the floor isn't a liability. Finally, the Kings have someone of size to match up with wings on the defensive end of the floor. And not only that, this is going to help their rebounding in the fact that Harrison Barnes is a bigger body, someone who can help team rebound, and someone who's not going to be able or going to be giving up size in order to do so. Now, again, Iman Shumpert did a great job for the majority of this season guarding players that were really a position above him and guarding players that were taller than him and longer than him. Harrison Barnes can match those players in terms of length and size. So I think you're going to see the impact, you're going to see the difference of that immediately. all in all, with this entire trade deadline, here's how the whole thing went down. Look at it as one big move, one big day, one big package. The Sacramento Kings acquired their wing defender and shooter in Harrison Barnes. They acquired another two-guard shooter off the bench in Alec Burks and a second-round pick for three players, one in Zach Randolph, who hasn't played an entire second this year, one who is a proverbial bench player, someone who was a great teammate and someone who provided scoring and shooting and decent defense off the bench, and one who was a locker room leader but an inconsistent shooter and offensive player on the floor who played decent defense but was undersized for his position. And what you should notice through that entire thing is that the Kings didn't have to give up a single piece of their core in order to acquire Harrison Barnes and the haul that they got. That's a massive win. I think the Kings absolutely got better last night. Now, it didn't look like it with how they played against the Houston Rockets, which I'll touch on here in just a second. But the Kings 100% got better. And in my opinion, they now have everything they need to make the playoff push. The biggest hole that they needed to fill and they've been trying to fill for such a long time is finding that three, finding that wing that fit what the team needed. And they got that in Harrison Barnes. Now, I've said on this podcast, I'm not the biggest fan of Harrison Barnes. I don't think he is the best they could have gotten in terms of player. I would have rather the Kings have gone out and gotten Otto Porter, but I'm glad they made the smart move in getting Barnes for what they paid for him rather than overpaying for Otto Porter. I like what Vlade did, and if anything, I hope those fans who didn't necessarily trust Vlade or don't believe that Vlade is a good general manager and is competent enough to work as a general manager in this league, I hope they now realize that Vlade has grown as a GM. He has learned a lot from past trades, even the DeMarcus Cousins trade all the way to now. Vlade was a big winner in all of these trade scenarios. He didn't stumble. He didn't gamble. I know some are going to question moving Iman Shumpert for essentially a second-round pick and wondering how that'll affect chemistry and if that was worth it. And that's a decent question, I suppose, but all in all, Vlade Divac made the smart move, and this is why he was patient. This is why Vlade and the Kings were involved in moves earlier on in the year in order to take on a bad contract to get a late first-round draft pick, for example, like what the Atlanta Hawks did, taking on Carmelo Anthony's contract so they could get Houston Rockets' late-round pick, right? Good on the Kings for not doing that. They gave themselves the flexibility to be legitimate players here at the trade deadline. They filled their need in getting Harrison Barnes. On top of that, they can afford to bring him back on his contract if he decides to accept his player option. He has a $25 million player option for next year, or they can ask him to not accept that and try and re-sign him to a long-term deal, which is what Adrian Wojnarowski reported is potentially in the works by the Kings. The Kings are not looking to just have him for 1 year and then say sayonara. If things work out, they're going to want Harrison Barnes to be part of this core for the long term, and he certainly fits that. He's only 26 years old. The Kings did what they needed to do. They made the right moves. Harrison Barnes is a right fit. And on top of that, with the expiring contracts that they still have, they're still going to have roughly $33 million of cap room to spend and to make some moves here this summer in free agency. Kings took advantage of their current situation while still giving themselves options for the future. I love that. I think the Kings and Vlade and this entire front office absolutely hit a home run last night, and this team is better. And I expect this team to be a serious contender for the playoffs. In fact, I called my shot last night even before these trades went down, so I'll come on the record here publicly on the Locked On Kings podcast and say now that the Kings have Harrison Barnes, now that the Kings have Alec Burks, and seemingly have the core of their future for many years to come, I believe the Kings are going to make the playoffs this year. Whether it's an 8th seed or 7th seed, I don't know. And it's hard to say that coming off of a bad loss like the Kings suffered last night, but I believe with the pieces that they have, the talent that they have, adding Harrison Barnes to the mix, assuming that he comes in, takes to his role, and fits with this squad, the Kings will be a playoff team this season. Now on to the negatives of the night. The Sacramento Kings got their ass kicked by the Houston Rockets, really. They looked quite honestly, they look shell-shocked by the trades. I know some, if not all of them, were disappointed by the fact that Iman Shumpert was traded a couple hours before game time, but what really looked to have an effect on this young Kings team was the fact that Justin Jackson was traded literally minutes before the game started. They found out literally minutes before the game started, and then the public found out a few minutes into the game. That looked like it had a very clear effect on the Kings last night. The chemistry wasn't there. You could tell they weren't 100% engaged in the game. They were making sloppy passes, mental mistakes. Nemanja Bjelica had three or four situations in the first half where the ball just came off of his hands and he wasn't paying attention, or just mentally the team in general looked checked out on both ends of the floor. And the Houston Rockets, being a offensive juggernaut and having an MVP like James Harden, they smelt blood and they took advantage. They outscored the Kings 44-17 in the second quarter, and the game was over after that. Now, the Kings were much more competitive in the second half overall, which is good. I'm glad that they made some adjustments, and Dave Yeager discussed that following the game, that the Kings did well to adjust, and they battled through with one another. They battled through the disappointment and the difficulty of losing not just teammates but good friends and almost brothers suddenly, and it's the trade deadline. I'm sure they expected and knew something was going to happen, something was going to take place, but even so, expecting it and then actually going through it are two very different things. And you could visibly see the disappointment for some of these Kings players, the not necessarily frustration at the organization for making the trades, because I know each one of those players is aware that getting Harrison Barnes, getting Alec Burks is good for this team, and they probably on paper, well, actually definitely on paper, got better. But for De'Aaron Fox specifically, his locker was right next to Justin Jackson. He and Justin Jackson have been childhood friends for quite a long time. So that's hard to see someone that you're close with, that you literally see every day, that you get dressed and ready next to every single day. That person's gone. And not only that, that person leaves minutes before you're about to go to war with them against one of the top teams in the Western Conference. It's tough. It's something that's difficult, and a lot of veteran teams are able to roll with those punches, take it, and go out and put it aside and play a good basketball game and win games like last night. But for a team that's still as young as the Sacramento Kings are, it was a gut punch, and it had a visible effect on their play on the floor, and all the players that we spoke with in the locker room post-game acknowledged that. Now, De'Aaron Fox himself said, it's a tough league, it's a tough thing to deal with, but we got to go out there and play and just and work our way through it. Willie Cauley-Stein, who never shies away from sharing his emotions, said that he showed up, was blindsided by it, that it was trash and it was frustrating, but that was just part of the business. And Buddy Hield said that it was a sour taste, a tough pill to swallow, and the game on top of that made the night ultimately solemn and sad and doom and gloom, but this team will be ready to respond, to bounce back, and will be ready to go on Friday when they take on the Miami Heat. So understandable frustration, disappointment, and sadness tonight, or last night, and hopefully today and tomorrow that goes away. Buddy Hield also mentioned that the Kings are going to welcome Harrison Barnes and Alec Burks in with open arms, and he's excited to play with those two and see how they fit in and how they make the team better. De'Aaron Fox was asked if he thinks the team is better by adding Barnes, and he said absolutely yes. He's excited to play with him and see how he fits in and what he can bring to the team. It's something I expect all these players to get over, but in the moment, being asked about raw emotions, being able to walk into that locker room, and I'm telling you, I walked into that locker room and I just, you could feel, funeral isn't the right word, but it just had that funeral feel to it, right? It was quiet, it was solemn, nobody was really talking, everybody's head was down, either looking at their phones or just whispering and mumbling to one another, and then when they did speak with the media, there was just long pauses, just heads down. It was disappointing, and with the loss piled in on top of that, it all accumulated into one kind of frustrating and sad night overall, but this is nothing that I don't expect this team to get over. They will be fine, and I expect them to be ready to go and ready to compete and win against the Miami Heat here inside the Golden 1 Center on Friday. So the Kings lose their first game of this homestand. They break their three-game win streak and their seven-game home win streak, but there's still the very real possibility that they can go 5-1 during this homestand, which is absolutely fantastic. I'm extremely fired up to see how Harrison Barnes and Alec Burks fit in to this Kings squad. And like I said in the last segment, I expect this team to be competing and in a playoff spot by the end of the season. And Burks and Barnes are certainly going to help with that. Let me know your thoughts on the entire trade deadline, everything that the Kings have done last night going into this morning. And remember, we are going to be having another podcast later on today. I will be recording another podcast with a guest later on today, going over and highlighting all of the moves, or all the major moves, really, at this trade deadline for not just the Kings, but all of the NBA. So look forward to that a little bit later on today. You can respond at any time, reach out to me at any time, and chat with me at any time on Twitter at @MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me your thoughts, your takes, and all that, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. And if you want to be a part of future podcasts and potentially get on the podcast itself, you can call our call-in line, which is our voicemail box. You just call in and leave your voicemail. I listen to all of them, trying to respond to as many as I can. And if they're good, I try and take some and bring them to the podcast itself. So that number is 909-566-0232. Again, share your thoughts about the trades that the Kings made, the addition of Harris and Barnes. Are you sad to see Shumpert go? Sad to see Justin Jackson go? How excited are you to bring these two in? What do you think about the abundance of second-round picks? And also, I tweeted out last night when we were waiting to enter the locker room, Vlade Divac walked by, and some of the media members asked him, are you going to talk? Do you want to say anything? And Vlade said that he'd talk to the media more tomorrow, but one of the things that he said was, and I don't know what Vlade meant by it, but it's easy to draw conclusions. One of the things that he said was, we're not done yet, or it's not over yet, is what he said. So that can mean a lot of things. That can mean another move is coming here today. I personally doubt it. I think the Kings have covered all their bases and have gotten what they wanted and don't want to hurt chemistry even more than maybe they already have. They're focused on with this unit that they've acquired moving on, but we never know. I'm sure their phone is still ringing all day long. They have all the way up till noon to make any sort of decisions, so we'll just have to wait and see. Of course, if something else drops, we'll talk about that in the podcast later on today. Thank you to everybody who has stuck with us throughout this entire show, throughout this entire trade deadline season. I know many of you were interacting with me and involved in the conversations on Twitter and on social media last night, so I appreciate that. If you are new, again, shoot me a follow at @MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter and let me know you listen to the Locked On Kings podcast. I'll be sure to follow you back, and that's a great way for us to engage in conversation. I am not someone that is not going to be speaking with you or involved in conversation with you. This is just as much your forum and your platform as it is mine, so I encourage that conversation. Please be a part of it, and if you're either at the arena or all the way across the world, like we have listeners in Europe and in Australia and things like that, I will try to engage with you as much as I possibly can, because it's my way of showing appreciation to you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I will talk to you later on today for more trade deadline coverage. Until then, my name is Matt George. Oh, I forgot to mention, the Locked On NBA podcast is doing a live stream show on YouTube today. I am going to be a part of it. I'm going to be talking about the moves that the Kings made, but in general, everybody in the Locked On NBA team is going to be sharing and talking about all of the moves that have gone down last night, the days before, and up to the deadline itself. That goes live at 11:30 this morning, so be sure to tune in to that on the YouTube channel. You'll see me, and I'll appear on that, and I hope to see you there. Get involved in the chat there, and you can get more information and everything there as well. But until another podcast later on today, thank you so much for listening. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.